In this week's parsha is a very unique parsha. Bilam.
One more letter, you get mashmas. That's it.
Bilam, in this week's parsha, Bilam, he gives over many messages, prophecies, the voice, and at the very end, the atah now, hinani halech liami. I'm reading from parsha's Balak. Lecha yatzcha shayaser amazel leamcha biyachus. Sorry? So what are you saying? No. This week there are two parashiyos. This week is a double header. This week, Rabbi Sai, is a double header. Double two parashiyos. It's okay, don't worry. Double header.
No.
Most people don't know that. It's a miracle that I'm lucky that I know. I'm the first guy that, forgets these things. And it'll be very embarrassing for me if I'm supposed to lay in the Shabbos. So it's a good thing that I know, because if I don't know, could you imagine I'll come to Shul on Shabbos? Like, this is something that's so typical that I would do. I'll come to Shul on Shabbos, and I wouldn't even know that it's two parashiyos. And I would stop after Sheni, and then they would scream, no, go vayta, wah, two parashiyos, but I didn't prepare the second parasha. All right, so at least I have a heads up. How do I know I would do that? Because I did it once. I did it the other way around. I thought it was Nitzav Vayelech. I really believed it was Nitzav Vayelech, and I prepared both parashiyos, and I leaned, and I went, just kept on going after the first aliyah. And they stopped me. I said, whoa. No, stop. I'm telling you, stop. And it took me 5 minutes to realize, oh, there's only one parsha this week. Do you know how embarrassing that is? In any event, we have over here in this week's parsha two parshas, Chukas, Balak, and at the end of Balak, Bilam, he gives over a prophecy that deals directly with Yemois HaMashiach. How do I know? Because it says, V'ato now Shevihi of Balak, and now Hinani Hoylech Liami. I'm going to my people, l'cha kam, i'otzicha, I will advise you, asher yasa amazel le'amcha, to your people be acharis hayomim, and the end of days. V'yisa mishloi v'yamar num bilam b'noi v'ar unum agever shesum o'yin nu'um shumeh imrei kel v'yudia da'asalyon, machaze shaka yechze noifel u'gluy no'yim, erin v'loyato. Oh, so here are the words. I see them, but not now. Ashurenu v'loi karoiv. These, according to the Medrash, are references to the coming of Mashiach. I'm witnessing now in front of my eyes, Yemois HaMashiach. I see them, but not now. It's going to be in 3,500 years from now. Ashurenu. The word Ashurenu also means to see. V'loi karoiv. It's not happening now. It's going to take a very long time until this happens. Dorach koichav miYaakov. A star has descended from Yaakov. Who is the star? Bar Kochva. Okay, Rabbi Akiva believed in this man by the name of Bar Kochva. He was a general, a holy person in the time of Beitar, 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They firmly believed Mashiach was at the doorsteps of Klal Yisrael after they suffered the greatest tragedy the Jews have ever suffered since Ma'aseh Bereishis, with the Churban Bayis Sheni. Was that the greatest tragedy? I don't know. Maybe the Bayis Rishon was a greater tragedy. But they firmly believed that after Bayis Sheni was destroyed, it has to be Mashiach is on its way. 52 years later, Klal Yisrael had autonomy under the authority of Bar Kochva. He rebelled against Rome. They even minted their own coins. And Rabbi Akiva was his support, was his most loyal supporter. Rabbi Akiva had a lot of clout. Rabbi Akiva said he's legit. Everyone listened to him. And Bar Kochva was expected to be the Melech HaMashiach. Darach means it descended. A kochav, a star, miYaakov. Rashi learns derech pshat. Darach kochav, he doesn't tell you pshat. He tells over here, kit targumai, like the Targum. And if we go to the Targum, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Chazisiv lecha'on, sechisiv lo isohi, kariv kad yukum malka. Kariv means soon, when, yakim, it will be established, a king, a melech, a koichav, according to the translation of the Targum, is a king. And Dorach means to step. Step means to be established. When a person steps on the ground, he's establishing himself in this location, a king, Miyakov, and then the Kom Shevet, the Yisraba Mishicha, Miyisrael. It will become great, the Yisraba, a Mashiach miYisrael, a Mashiach. There will be a Melech, and there will be a Mashiach. The Yiktol Rav Revei Moav, he will be a warrior, he will be a general, he will kill, he will take the lives of the great ones of Moav, the Yishloit B'chol B'nei Enosha, and he will rule over all of mankind. Rashi tells us, I'm not going to translate this pasuk for you. There's only one translation, and the translation is the Targum. And the Targum, as we all know, is the most basic, raw, authentic translation of every pasuk in Chumash, Targum Unkelus. Unkelus came first. Unkelus is the basic pshat, and the pasuk says, again one more time, Erenu v'loyata, Ashurenu v'loy karoiv. Bilam is speaking, spoke, he said these words more than 3,500 years ago. He said these words about, and he's saying it's not going to be anytime soon. 3,500 years is not the near future. What do I see? I see Dorach. Dorach means Yikum. Kad when Yikum, when it will be established. The Koichav is the king, Miyakov. And then the Kom he learns to mean to rise up. It will be great. There will be greatness. Shevet. He translates the word Shevet in this pasuk to mean a Mashiach, a Melech HaMashiach, Miyisrael. Umochatz. Machatz means to smash, to kill, to take the life. Paaseh. What's the word paaseh? It means Rav Revei, the great ones, the leaders of Moav, the nation of Moav. The karkar, the Targum translates, the yishloit. He will achieve authority. He will have dominion. Kol b'nei sheis means mankind, enosha. Sheis was the child of enosh. B'chol b'nei enosha. Okay, so this is a very elaborate pasuk, a very elaborate perush, and it says clear as day in this pasuk with the basic translation, I am predicting, I am witnessing in front of my eyes the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach will be great. He will execute the leaders of Moav, and he will rule over all of mankind. All right. Now let's discuss some of the ideas relating to the coming of Moshiach. A whole long list of things. I'm going to do this until the end. A whole long collection of ideas I want to discuss with you. First question over here is, first thing I want to discuss is, will the Melech HaMashiach will come? Okay, this is a cute little thing. And this is like a riddle. It's a riddle they ask children, and I've seen different answers. When the Melech HaMashiach comes, how many brachos will you make? Let me put a little humorous twist to this question. Is the Melech HaMashiach as good as sushi? You know what sushi is? Anyone here like sushi? I don't find it anything special. I don't really. I'm not running out in the middle of the night to go buy sushi. Take it or leave it. I don't really care for it. What is the mile of sushi? Sushi is a dugma. You heard it here first. Can you imagine you're going to go, you'll tell this out there in the street what I said today? Then no one will come to the shir. Sushi is a dugma of the Melech HaMashiach. Those are shocking words. Shocking words. Why did I say those words? How many foods do you know you can make four blessings upon? If you eat a piece of pizza, how many blessings do you make? One bracha. Either you're going to make a borei minei mizoinos, or you're going to make a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. It's one or the other. If you eat some pretzels, you're going to make a borei minei mizoinos. If you're going to have a cup of Coca-Cola, shahakol niya bidvaroi. No. If you have vegetable soup, how many blessings do you make? Usually one bracha. Borei priu adama. Make a shahakol. I don't know. You have to have a very thin vegetable soup with real vegetables. So you make a hadama on the vegetables and make a shahakol on the soup. What about if you have sushi? How many blessings do you make on sushi? Let's see. The rice, you have to take off one little kernel of rice, and you make a borei minei mizoinos. Inside some of the sushi, depends what type you order, there's avocado. Avocado is a fruit. You have to take out a little slice of the avocado and make a borei pri ha'etz. Sometimes they put cucumbers. So now you have to make a borei pri ha'adama. They slice little teeny slivers of cucumbers. I don't even know how they can slice it so small. I couldn't slice it so small. You can slice cucumbers so small. How do they do that? Only the Chinese know how to do this. And the Japanese. Not the Chinese. Who's the sushi people? The Chinese or the Japanese? Whoever these guys are. They're all sitting there. They're chopping away. And then there's fish. What bracha do you make on fish? Shah kol niyabid varoi. And what about the seaweed? Mishane habriyos. No, you make on the seaweed. I don't know. I guess you make on the seaweed. You make a shahakol also. So tell me, how many brachas do you make on sushi? Four brachas. That's the halacha. I'm not joking with you. Four on a sushi, which has all four items: mizoinos, the rice, ho'etz on the avocado, ho'adama on the cucumber, a shahakol on the fish and the seaweed. That seaweed covering. Four blessings. How many blessings do you make on the Melech HaMashiach? At least four. What are the brachas you make? Number one, you're going to make, the assumption is that when the Melech HaMashiach comes, the whole Klal Yisrael will come together to be mekabel the Pnei Melech HaMashiach. And there is a halach in Shulchan Aruch that when 600,000 Jews come together, you make a bracha, Chacham Horozim. Baruchat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Chacham Horozim. Hashem is the wise man who knows all of the secrets. 600,000 Jews in one location, each one is different. Kishem Shepartsu, Feim Enam Shavas, Kach Deoisim Enam Shavas. You make the bracha of Chacham Horozim. Then we make the bracha of Shecholak Mechochmasai Liyreyav. There's a special blessing you make on a big on a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham Shecholak, you have given over Hashem from your wisdom to those who fear you. Certainly, the Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam says, will be the Chacham Mo'id, even more wise than Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you believe such a statement? You make the bracha Shecholak Mechvoida Mechochmasai Liyreyav. And this is a controversial bracha. Okay, we will talk about it. You'll also make the bracha shecholak mechvoidei liyareyav. Now this is a controversial shecholak mechvoidei liyareyav. That's a new bracha. Who says this? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that when Mashiach will come on a head of state, on the president of the United States of America, we had a dilemma. Do you make the bracha shecholak mechvoidei Lebosar Vadam? On the Melech HaMashiach, it's different. He's also Yoreh Shemayim, so we make on him Shecholak Mechvoidoi He's a political leader. He has honor. It's not just he has Torah knowledge. Talmidei Chacham today, they have Torah knowledge. So we make the bracha shecholak mich, shecholak shecholak mechochmosai liyareyav. But there's another element of being a head of state of kovoid. Today it's impossible. Today there's no such thing as making on a head of state the bracha shecholak mechvoidai liyareyav. Doesn't exist, because a head of state today is not a Talmud Chacham. There's never been in history a head of state that qualified to make the bracha of Shecholak Mechachmaso Liraf. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you can make the bracha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is called today in the yeshiva world the Sar HaTorah, the Prince of Torah, the Sar HaTorah. He knows everything. B'li Ayin Hara. May he have arichas yomim b'shanim. The Sar HaTorah, he's wrote, and the rabbi said, the proof is in the pudding. He put out like 50, I don't know how many svarim he put out, and his svarim are not to be believed. The knowledge that is accumulated in those svarim, not to be believed, the svarim that he published. So on him you make the bracha, Shecholak mechochmosoi liyareyav. Do you make an of Chaim Kanievsky she nosan mechvoidoi lebos of Adam? No way. He has no power. He has no power in the state of Israel. He has no power in America. He has no power. He can't do anything. He's powerless. He's not a head of state. Okay, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's the Gadol Hador, the Sar HaTorah. Do you make on Bibi Netanyahu, do you make on him the bracha, Shecholak, Mechvoidoi Lebosav Adam? I don't know, maybe not, I don't know what the rules are. But you don't make on Bibi. No one ever told me that Bibi Netanyahu knows Gan Shas, knows Kol Torah Kula, and never heard such a thing. Do you make the bracha, Shenosan, Shecholak, Mechachmos Lebosav Adam? They are today in the world that we live in, they are mutually exclusive. You don't have heads of states or Talmidei Chachamim, and you do not have Talmidei Chachamim that are heads of state. However, what is unique about the Melech HaMashiach is he will be the Sar HaTorah and he will be the head of state. And that presents a unique halachic dilemma. What bracha do you make on him? And this is the big topic of discussion. Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was of the opinion that you're going to make of the Melech HaMashiach two separate brachas. The bracha, being that he will be the Sar HaTorah, you'll make upon him, Shecholak Mechochmosoi Liyareyav. Hashem has given over from his wisdom to those who fear him. And you'll also make a modified bracha for being the head of state. Instead of saying Bosar Vedam, you're going to say Liyareyav, because he fears Hashem, but you're going to make the bracha on the kovod, on the honor that he receives, being that he is the head of state. So those are already two blessings. And then there's the blessing of Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem Melech Olam Chacham Horozim. There are going to be 600,000 people assembled when we mekabel the Pnei Melech HaMashiach. At least 600,000 people. And then there's going to be the bracha, Shehechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu l'asman hazeh. So how many brachas is that according to Shlomo Zalman Arbach? Four blessings. The Melech HaMashiach is like a piece of sushi. Just like on sushi you make four blessings, there's nothing else. There's no other food. I challenge you to go through every menu of every caterer in the world and present me with a food, a dish upon which you can make and you mechuyev to make four blessings. Show me a person upon whom you could make four blessings, or four blessings will be set upon that person. You show me. Can't. You don't make four blessings on a person. But the Melech HaMashiach, you make four blessings. Chacham Rozim, Shachyanu, Shacholak Mechochmosoi Liyreyov, Shinosan Mechvoidoi Liyreyov. Four blessings. What about the bracha? Now here's another dilemma. What about a fifth blessing? We'll make him better than sushi. Techias Hamesim. Mechaye Hamesim. We haven't seen you in a long time, Malcolm. If you don't see your friend for more than 12 months, you can make Techias Hamesim. So it's not a good bracha. It's not because the rule is in order to make Techias Hamesim, you have to see him first once. If you already saw him before, I saw you, I know you, and now there's been a gap, I have not seen you for 12 months, then you can make Techias HaMesim. But if you never met the person once in your life, then you can't make Techias HaMesim. Some disagree, some hold you can make Techias HaMesim, which would upgrade the Melech HaMashiach to being even better than sushi. Five blessings. There would also be the Baruch of Techias HaMesim, but that's a Das Yachid. Okay, so basically we have over here, Abshom Zalman Arbach, this riddle, four blessings. It could be there are more. It's like a little riddle. Every different time they talk about this little dilemma. Okay, now let's discuss some other things. Today, I found this idea to be very, very interesting. And that we have a principle of that Rambam, he elaborates and he says, one of the 13 principles of faith is emuna in the coming of Mashiach. It's this week's parasha. Parashas Balak, Targum, as we explained, we read the pasuk, we read the Targum. You have to have emuna in what it says in the Bible, what it says in the Torah. And one of the principles of emuna is animam b'munashlim b'vias ha-mashiach v'yaf ha-pi she-yismameya im kol ze'achak eloi b'chol yoim she-yavai. Now let us analyze these words very carefully. There is a principle in the coming of Mashiach that you have to yearn to yearn b'chol yoim. The Rambam's words are every single day sheyava. Chazal tell us that a curse should come upon those people who make calculations and figure out the exact date when the Melech HaMashiach will arrive. Mechashvei kitzin. And this seems to indicate that in every generation there is potential for Mashiach to come at a certain time. There are many different time periods in history which are opportune moments. They are moments which lend themselves more than other moments for Hashem to allow the Melech HaMashiach to arrive. And people who are knowledgeable in the secrets of Torah can make these calculations and can figure out in every generation when that moment will be. And Chazal said, don't be part of that group of people who make these calculations and figure out what Mashiach will be. And in fact, people who do this should be cursed. Very, very severe curses. Why? What's so terrible? So the answer that's given is a very, very powerful answer. Because if you people know when Mashiach is coming, they no longer are able to fulfill the words of the Rambam, Achak Eloi b'chol yoim sheyava. If you know that in this generation, every 70 years there's a time, every person, their lifetime, has what to look forward to. It's possible for Mashiach to come in everyone's lifetime. Every generation, if it didn't come by now, and the next generation, there's a moment, there's a tikkuf when it's ready to come. If you know, if you were told by an expert, we figured it out, and the most opportune moment for Mashiach to come is going to be in 2 years from now, on July 5th. Okay, the English day, July 5th, you make a calculation, whatever it is, that's the Zman. We're telling you that's the opportune moment. It's all going to lead, all of current events are going to lead to that moment. If you have faith in this person, he's probably, and he's right, in what has happened? Let's clarify something. Let's say he says to you, I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to come. I'm not going to make that guarantee because, you know, it depends on doing teshuva. All I'm telling you, though, is that if we will get our act together and do teshuva and daven and do what we're supposed to do, that's when it will come. It will come on this particular date if we will get our act together and be mispalel for Mashiach. Chazal said those people should be dismissed. Because by doing so, they're right. Don't second guess them. They know what they're saying. By doing so, we lose the opportunity to yearn for Mashiach every single day. If I know that next year, on July 5th, at this time, is the opportune moment, and we should prepare and do the best that we can to make it come at that moment in time. Will it come or not is no guarantee. But if it will come, it will come then. So what does that mean? It means today, I'm going on vacation. I'm going on vacation. Nothing's happening today. Next week, I'm going on vacation. In 2 weeks, for the next year and a half, I couldn't care less. Because Mashiach anyway is not coming. It will be impossible in your mind to fulfill the yearning of Achak Eloi b'chol yoim. Therefore, Chazal said, the people who make these calculations, and we're not challenging them, they know what they're doing. They know how to make the calculations. They're right. They know when the moment is right. And if only we will do teshuva and prepare ourselves, it will come then. It really will come at that moment in time. But they're not doing us a favor. Because by telling us that moment, they're denying us the ability to yearn for the possibility of Mashiach coming, even today. Okay, that's one idea. Now let's go a little bit further. Is there an inyan to yearn for the coming of Mashiach, not just every day, but every moment of the day? In other words, let's say, daven shachris, and I say the animamins, oh, and I have a feeling, a hergish, oh, wonderful, wonderful, I want Mashiach to come, I feel it, I feel the need, the urgency, the desire, the yearning. Okay, I'm done. Now it's the afternoon, it's the evening, and someone says to me, tell me, do you yearn for Mashiach to come? I'll say to him, listen, don't burden me. This morning, it took a lot of effort for me to work myself up, to meditate, to enter into a frame of mind where I was yearning for Mashiach. But you know, that was 6 hours ago. Since then, the stock market crashed. I had a fight with my wife. My children want more money from me. My lunch was burnt. A lot of things happened today. You know, I'm not in the mood now to yearn for Mashiach. I did that already in the morning. 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, I davened. I said, Ani Mamin. It took effort. I did it. Tomorrow, I'll try again. But now, leave me alone. How many times during the day do I have to yearn for Mashiach to come? I did it already once a day. I was yoytze. I put on tefillin this morning. I'm not putting it on again. Sukkis, I took the lulav and esrog. I'm not taking it again. Leave me alone. How many times a day do I have to yearn for the coming of Mashiach? That's the question. The Rambam only says, Achak Eloi b'chol yoim sheyavai. The Rambam does not say that you have to yearn every moment of the day. However, you should be aware that some of the commentators disagree with what I just told you, and they learn, no, that's what the Rambam actually means. The Rambam does not say, Achak Eloi sheyavai, or Achake, I don't know the grammar, how we would construct the expression, but the Rambam says, Bichol yoim. And the way some of the commentators want to understand the Rambam is, I yearn that he should come every hour of the day. It's not just enough once a day. Bechol yom, throughout the day, from the early morning until I go to sleep, and even in my dreams, every moment of the day, I'm yearning. Bechol zman sheyavai. Doesn't say it. Okay, so this is the debate. Okay, it's a debate. This is a dilemma. So you hear the two tzadim. There are two tzadim. There's the tzad of every once a day, like tefillin. I put on tefillin, I'm done. Don't overburden me. And then there is a possibility, no, the coming of Mashiach demands, it's something so fundamental to our religion, every moment of the day. L'may nafkamina, today, there's a new chumrah today. Is it a chumrah? Maybe it's not a chumrah. Chodosh. Today you go to a bakery, almost every bakery in Flatbush, they have a big sign. Now is not the chodosh season. Now in the fall is the time when it can be problematic. Kemach yoshan. We only use here for the bread and for the pastries flour that was already harvested before Pesach. Because anything which grew after Pesach is chodosh. And chodosh, grain that grew after Pesach, is not allowed to be consumed until the following Pesach. Now, is that really true? Well, b'zman shebeis hamikdash hoya kayam in Eretz Yisrael, that is absolutely true. But we're not living in the time where there is a beis hamikdash, and we're not living in Eretz Yisrael. We're living in chutz liaretz, and even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only midrabanan. And therefore, in chutz liaretz, we are very lenient, and we traditionally have totally ignored this issue. We follow the opinions that hold that there is no requirement to eat only kemach yoshan in chutz laaretz, and the one that tells us that this the halacha is the shita of the Bach. The Bach was famous to be makel, to be lenient, and traditionally, throughout Golos, or since the Bach's time, we've always been very lenient in this matter. Come to America after the Churban, sell in America. The truth is, we know now today, it was never an issue. When they came to America, there was an enormous surplus of grain in America. It was blessed, and the grain that was used in the market was always b'li yoytze min haklal, was kemach yoshan. Then, during the Cold War, our friends in Russia were starving to death, and in the United States during the 60s, they passed the law, the Congress was very generous, to give away the surplus to the starving Russians. And then what happened was, there was no longer a surplus in this country, and it became an issue. It became an issue that maybe the grain, that the bread that you're eating, times of the year, indeed is kemach chodosh. So they were different groups of people. Some people were machmir, but traditionally were very makel. I read from classified documents that the Satmar Rav demanded from his Hasidim they should be machmir in kemach yoshan. They told the Satmar Rav, Rebbe, you have to understand that yoshan, as you know better than all of us, yoshan is only a shaila, a dirabanan. Even if the Rishonim that say that Yechayiv is only, it's only a din derabanan, it's not a deraisa, it's a derabanan, and it's a chumrah. But one thing we can tell you is, if we're going to be makban on kemach yoshan, most of the yoshan flour is infested with shirotzim, bugs. And eating a bug is a violation of five isurei deoraisa. So maybe it wouldn't be such a good idea to be machmer on a derabanan when it will come at the expense of eating, being oiver on isurei deoraisa of eating shirotzim, because the old grain was infested with shirotzim. So the Satmar Rav said, if that is the case, you're right, forget it. Forget it. Don't be machmer. It's right, it's not kedai. It's not kedai to be nichshol in achila shirotzim, eating the bugs that infest the old grain, than eating kemach chodosh, which does not have this problem, and it's only a chumra anyway, which is, we've never been makpid on anyway. Today, though, the truth is the bugs are not a problem anymore, because the way they store and treat the grain has seemed to resolve the issue of the bugs. And that's why today many people indeed are machmir, because we live in America, you can. What am I telling you all this for? Why is there a phenomenon in our generation to be machmir in kemach yoshan? When I was a kid, I never even heard of this. I remember it was a joke. Someone came in and he said, Rebbe, I went to a bris today. I brought you a bagel. And the bagel is yoshan. So the Rebbe said, what does that mean? It's stale? It's a rock? What does it mean it's yoshan? It's old? There's mold on the bagel? What does it mean? No one even knew what yoshan was, chadash. No one even knew these things. Today, you go into the bakery, kemach yoshan. I told you, it's a joke. Challah, hafrosh aschallah, they rely upon these kulis, which is a misa shemayim, but that the machmera, that the makelon, that the very lenient on. And that's serious business. Misa b'dei shemayim. But yosha, kemach yoshan. We have our priorities all mixed up. But today it's become an item. It's become something that people talk about. Why? I think there's a Musar Haskel in why it has captured our imagination. When in Chutz La'aretz are you allowed to eat kemach chodosh? What is the halacha? You have to wait until the second day of Chol Hamoed. You have to wait till the second day of Chol Hamoed. Now, let's go back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In the time when there was the Beis HaMikdash, when were you allowed to eat Chodosh? On the first day Chol Hamoed, immediately after they brought the Karbon Omer. When do you bring the Karbon Omer? A special Karbon that is brought from barley. It's burnt on the Mizbeach. It's brought from barley. It's offered on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, first thing in the morning. By 6:30, you are already, 6:30 a.m., you are already allowed to eat Kemach Chodosh, the new crop. On the first day Chol HaMoed, after 6:30, because by 6:30, they already offered Kohanim Ar Zerizim. They already offer the Karbon, they already offer the Tamid Shal Shachar, and being that it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, they offer the Musafim for Chol HaMoed Pesach, and they offer the Karbon, the Omer, and once you makriv the Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed, immediately afterwards you're able to eat from the Kemach Chodosh. Now what about today? Well, you're not allowed to eat until you bring the Omer. No one brought the Omer. So we have to. So if we know, and is the Omer going to be brought today on the first day? Well, if there's no Beis HaMikdash built, by 6 o'clock in the morning, it's not going to happen that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be up and ready to go by the end of the day. So therefore, we could assume that if there's no Beis HaMikdash early in the morning, there's no Beis HaMikdash going to be. It's not possible to build a Beis HaMikdash in such a short period of time. So technically, if we know that the Omer will not be offered, you can really eat Chodosh 6 o'clock in the morning, as soon as the day starts. But Chazal instituted an awesome, awesome principle that has absolutely no precedence, and it captures the Chavivus of Achak Eloi, not just every day Mashiach should come, but every moment. And what were they misaking? You know what's going to happen? If this year, let's say this year, Pesach Mashiach didn't come. So what do we do? Oh, Mashiach didn't come. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So we started to eat at 6 o'clock in the morning because there was no Omer. Next year, when there will be a Beis HaMikdash, there will be a Beis HaMikdash present, will be Beis HaMikdash. There'll be a Beis HaMikdash. We're gonna say, last year in Tavshin Pei, we ate 6 o'clock in the morning. So this year also, Tavshin Pei Aleph, we'll also eat Chodosh 6 a.m. in the morning. And someone's gonna have to tell us, no, you're not allowed to. The reason why last year you ate 6 a.m. in the morning was because there was no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it's not going to be brought. You don't have to wait. You can eat immediately. But in Tavshin Pei Aleph, when there is a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait until 6:30. Until they actually offer it. Until they actually offer it. So you gotta wait 6 hours. You gotta wait 6 hours. You gotta wait until they actually offer it. In order that we should not make this mistake, we should not make this horrible mistake. What's going to be next year? Okay, next year there will be a base. You have to think positive. Next year there will be a base on English, and next year we're going to want to eat chodosh immediately, 6 a.m. on the first day Chol HaMoed. And someone is going to tap us on the back and say, "Sir, what are you doing? They did not yet bring the Omer. The Omer, you can go online and you can watch the offering on the Omer via Zoom. They did not yet bring the Omer. It's premature." So you'll say back, "But what do you mean? Last year I ate Chodosh at 6 a.m. Why do I have to wait this year? Well, last year there was no Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, you're allowed to eat it right away. This year, when there is a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait until they actually bring it. And it takes time until they'll bring it. So you got to wait a couple of hours, a couple of minutes until they're ready to bring it." In order no one should make that mistake, Chazal were misaki that this year, in Tavshin Pei, which already passed, this year, you're not allowed to eat the Omer until the second day Chol HaMoed. You got to wait a whole day. A whole day to pass, so that next year you should not be nichshol, because of the concern, the reality that the mikdash is going to be built, and the difference in time is going to be basically a few minutes between eating early in the day, 6 o'clock and 6:30. So why am I telling you all this? Today we live in a very religious world, and you have to take this to your advantage. Today you walk into the bakery and you see a sign on the bakery, every bakery, Kemach, not now, because now this time of the year it's not nogea, it's not relevant. Because now everything, nothing grew yet. There wasn't enough time since Pesach for new grain to grow and to be in the stores. The first time it becomes an issue is in the fall, the end of the summer, the fall, then already there's a possibility that grain has been harvested after Pesach and has been processed, and as end up as flour in your local bakery, and it's on the shelf. But in the fall, you'll walk into a bakery and it'll say, Kemach Yoshan, we're machmer and Kemach Chodesh. You know what that is? That's like the Rambam. When you see that sign, when you walk into your bakery, what you're really seeing is the Rambam. You're seeing the Rambam is screaming at you, Achak Eloi b'chol yoim sheyavo. Chodosh. Chodosh. You were not allowed to eat the makbid here in this bakery on Chodosh. Only Yoshan. When did the Chodosh become permitted? The second day of Pesach. Not the first day of Pesach. Why not? Because maybe next year, by next year, Mashiach will be here. There will be a Beis HaMikdash. And we don't want you to make a mistake and start eating a few minutes too early. There's a difference. So when you see that sign, Kemach Yoshan, what are you really seeing? You're really seeing the Rambam. The Rambam is walking around in the bakery and he's saying to each customer, Af al pi sheyismameya im kol ze achake eloi bechol yoim sheyovai. It's an amazing. The law of Chodosh is a practical din in a chak eloi b'chol yom sheyavo, and also carries with it a few minutes. It's not just the day, every day I want. What's the difference? The difference between if Chazal would allow us to eat Chodosh when the Mikdash will be built. The Omer, the Koyad HaMazrizim, they're going to bring the Omer by 6:30. The whole issue is a half an hour. we may come to eat it a half an hour early. It's a short amount, and because of that short amount of time, we wait a whole day. It captures the reality of it, the thought that, you know, Mashiach really can come. And if it really can come, it can lead to a halachic blunder. And therefore, we want to set there, we want to get you ready right now. Every time you put into your mouth a piece of food that has a heksher, that it's kemach yoshan, it's a polite reminder. If you're eating chodosh, yoshan, and not chodosh, and it should remind you of when it became permitted. It became permitted, this piece of bread, a day later than it really should have. You know why? Because Mashiach is coming by next year. And when Mashiach comes, we don't want you to be nichshol. So that's why we did not allow you to eat this piece of bread by 24 hours. Because the principle of achake eloi sheyavoi is a real principle. That thought would never enter your mind if you did not eat yashan. So it's an amazing phenomenon. We're living in a generation where a good part of the tzibur, at least the commercial setting, can't say about the private people, it's like, you know, the bugs in the water, the copepods. As far as I know, 90% of the population does not have a filter in their home. Because there are many poskim that say it's not necessary. Rybelsky, amongst them. Adrabi says it's not even such a good idea for other reasons. But yet, the reality is, every kashrus institution, kemat b'li yoytze min haklal, has accepted upon themselves the chumrah that their facilities that they give a hechshir upon have filtered water. Why? Because the standards of the tzibur are higher than the standards of the yachid. That's the way it is. That's life, business. Okay, it's business. That's how it is. The OU has a policy, all of the facilities that they give a hechshir to, the water is filtered. The mashkichim themselves in their own private homes, is their water filtered? I doubt it. All the leadership of the OU, the people on the VAD, do they have filtered water in their home? I doubt it. But the standards for the community are higher. Yashan has become like that to a large degree. No one that I know is very few people I know are makbid on Yashan. But yet, when you make a simcha and you go into a caterer, it's a given. It's a given. It's kemach Yashan. The standards of the community are higher. Why? Why has Hashkach, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam allow that to happen? You have to be a maimon that everything that happens is b'hashkacha pratis, to a degree. To a degree, there's a hashkacha. The Olam now, in our lifetime, 2020, okay, Tav Shin Pei, it's a reality. It's not like it was when we were kids. When we were children, it wasn't like this. Now, that's how it is. Today, there's a higher standard for the community and it's kemach yashan. What is it all about? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us. This happened by design. He wants us achake loy bechol yom sheyavai. Chodosh and yashan is a principle, is a halacha, which, like none other, brings forth the reality that Mashiach can be here by next Pesach. For real. And there will be a Beis HaMikdash, and then it will be forbidden for us, according to Minat Torah, to eat Kemach Chodosh, and we're going to have to wait until Pesach. And we're going to make a mistake. If last year we ate the first day Pesach, the first day Chol HaMoed, early in the morning, so this year, you have to understand. Last year there was no Beis HaMikdash. This year there is a Beis HaMikdash. This year you have to wait. Yeah, you have to wait until they bring the Omer. So right now, we're taking that into consideration. We're going to delay it by one whole day so this takola should not happen. You're going to delay it by one whole day? Yeah, because next year it's going to happen. We're making preparations. Preparations? Achak eloi b'chol yom sheyavoi. So it's really beautiful. I was very critical of Chodesh. When I saw this Vart, I became very soft. I used to make litzanis of the people that are machmer on Yashan. What are you machmer on Yashan? Come on, who do you think you are? You're better than your grandparents, your great-grandparents. No one ever ate Yashan. America knew you can do it, serial numbers. What are you looking for trouble? There are much more important things to work on than to make yourself meshuga over Chodesh and Yashan. But when I saw this Vart, I'm not such a critic anymore, because there's an incredible silver lining in Chodesh and Yashan. And that's an appreciation for Achake Eloi B'chol Yoyim Sheyavah. Now, along that thought, let me tell you another idea which also shook me up, and it perfectly relates to this week's parasha. Pora Aduma Simima. V'yichu Elecha, take for yourself the Torah Simur. Chazal say this is the quintessential chayk. Even Shloima HaMelech, the Chacham Nikola Adam, even he did not fully grasp the full depth of Para Aduma. The only one that understood Para Aduma, the logic behind Para Aduma, was Moshe Rabbeinu. What's this all about? A person is Tomei Nefesh. He's Tomei, he comes in contact with the dead. So in order for him to achieve spiritual purification, they have to take a Para and take it to Har HaZesim and burn it and sprinkle its blood 7 times towards Shar Nikinar, and then add into the ashes Neitz Erez, Neizev Shni Seloas, take the ashes, mix it with water, Mayim Chayim, and sprinkle this upon a person who's Tomei on day 3 and day 7. What? And the one that does the procedure, he becomes Tomei. The one upon whom the procedure is done becomes Tahar. That doesn't make any sense. If you are the one that is effecting Tahar, why should you become Tomei? And why should he, the one that you've done it to, why does he become Tahar? What is this all about? Guess what? You're in good company. Nobody knows. Not even Shloimei HaMelech. Even he acknowledged that the logic and the lumdis and the purpose behind this in this mitzvah is beyond his comprehension. It's a test, challenge to his emunah, that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this mitzvah was given for a very important reason, and we don't understand, but that's how it is. Now, I saw a very beautiful Vart. And the Vart is as follows. Let's make believe we were Yaakov Avinu and his 12 sons in the good old days when they were living in Canaan, and Yosef did not yet get the Kesoinis Pasim. There was a nice family. Yaakov had 2 wives, Rachel and Leah. They had 12 children, okay? 12 children, make believe everything is fine and good. And make believe Avraham and Yitzchak, the Zayda is alive. The elder Zayda and the Zayda, Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Rachel and Leah, Sarah Rivka, and everyone's alive, all these children. Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu, and Hashem gives Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, make believe, the Torah. Come with me to the backyard, a miniature Har Sinai, and Hashem gives Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and his 12 children, he gives them the Torah HaKadosh. And in the Torah, there's a mitzvah that on the 15th day of Nisan, you should eat matzah. And don't eat chametz. No chametz. Eat matzah. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're looking at Hashem. What is this all about? You're telling us that on the 15th day of Nisan, we should clean our houses and eat matzah and take an animal and offer it as a korban, a Pesach. What? Why? Why in the world would we want to eat matzah? What does matzah have anything to do with us? We're one big happy family. We're living in the nation of Canaan. We have our own private dira. Everything is fine and good. What is matzah and chametz and korban Pesach? Hashem says, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, trust me. Trust me. You have no clue, but trust me. And then, you know what would happen? History would play itself out. the Jews, Yosef would be sold as a slave in Egypt, and there would be nothing, there would be a famine, and the brothers would go down to Egypt, and the whole story would unfold, and Yaakov, they would end up living in Egypt for 210 years, they would be enslaved, and then the day would come when Hashem would take them out of Egypt, and when they would leave Egypt, Hashem would say, there's no time to delay, run, run. And they slaughtered the idol of the Egyptians, the Seh. Then they would say, ah, now I understand. Now I understand why Hashem gave us the mitzvah of chametz and matzah and karbon pesach. I just told you a fairy tale. Yeah, make believe. Yaakov Avinu was living in Canaan with the Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in the 12 Shiftei Kah, and they're living, their prosperity, they're successful, and they're living in the land, prosperity and blessing. And Hashem comes to them all and gives them the Torah in Eretz Canaan and gives them these mitzvahs. There's no way in the world they could understand what this mitzvah is about. But then, if history will get back on course, you ever watch these shows or these movies where these time travelers, they go back in time to get history back on track? You ever watch these shows? They were great. When I was a kid, I used to love these shows, where somehow history gets all messed up, and there are these time travelers that are sent back in time to get history back on the right track. So make believe, this is such a fantasy tale I'm telling you. Hashem, instead of giving the Torah in the Midbar to Klal Yisrael after Yitzias Mitzrayim, make believe Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael before they even went down to Egypt. Something went wrong in history. When they got the Torah, did it make any sense to do the Mikayim, this mitzvah of Matz and Pesach? Zero sense whatsoever. But if history would get back on track, now I understand. So the Mefarshim say, I think Rav Shimon Schwab says something like this. He says, that is exactly what is going to be with Para Aduma. You know why we don't have any understanding of Para Aduma? We're clueless. And even Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol HaAdam, even he was clueless, because the reason for Para Aduma didn't happen yet. It didn't happen. The event didn't happen. When the event will happen, then it will be Dvarim Pshutim Ad Me'od. Even a child in the street, the simplest intelligence, was, of course, who can't understand Chametz U'Matzah? Who can't understand it? Hashem took us out in haste, and we didn't have enough time to bake the bread. It turned into Chametz and Matzah. So we commemorate that Ki B'chipazon Yotzasa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. And of course, there's a lot of depth in it as well. And all of the depth, you want to go and darshan and stay up the whole night, Lil Pesach, and tell me 1,000 perushim, you'll understand everything that you said, because you can be connected to an event. Para Aduma did not yet happen. It's the mitzvah that commemorates Mashiach. The coming of Mashiach will play out in such a way that when we will commemorate the miracle of Geula, of course, Para Aduma. Even a child understands the correlation between every little detail and the miracle of Geula. We're still clueless, even with Corona, even with the elections, even with BLM, we're still clueless. We have no idea what in the world Para Aduma is about. But we're in good company. Shlomo HaMelech also acknowledged this clueless as to understand what Parah Aduma is all about. Okay, I believe the one that says everything that I just told you is Rav Shimon Schwab. Now, I want to leave you with one more idea. It was on the back of my mind, and all of a sudden I forgot what I want on that. Just came back, 1 second. One more idea about the coming of Mashiach. Yeah. And that is Eliyahu Hanavi. Shabsai Tzvi was probably the biggest false Mashiach. He wasn't the only one. The whole collection of these guys, whole collection of history. In hindsight, I read something very recently which really shook me up. In hindsight, there's a very big problem with Shabsai Tzvi, which is very disturbing as to how he was able to get so far. The coming of Shabsai Tzvi claimed he's the Melech HaMashiach. Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? Hine onoichi sholeach lochem es Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem hagodol v'hanoira. Eliyahu HaNavi, according to the simple understanding, even though we don't know all the details, must come before the Melech HaMashiach. On Pesach night, look what we do at Lil Pesach. We go through the Haggadah, we reflect upon Yetzias Mitzrayim, we reflect upon everything that has happened, which is a template for Mashiach, the ultimate Geula. It's a preparation for what's coming. And then when it's almost all over, we've gone through the entire Seder, now we're coming to the very end, what do? We open up the door looking for Eliyahu HaNavi. We bring out the Koish of Eliyahu. Okay, we fill it up in the beginning, but even we really make our Adin, the Koish of Eliyahu is the fifth cup. It's when the Seder is over. The Koish of Eliyahu. Why Eliyahu HaNavi? We should be focusing on Mashiach. Eshlach Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to Hashem, what was the pasuk? Eshlach Eker Asher Eken. Moshe said to
Moshe.
Yeah, Moshe said to Hashem, I don't want to be the Mashiach. Send Eshlach. What was the pasuk? Send someone else. Don't send me. Send someone else. Send the real Mashiach. Say again. Shlach no biatishlach. What are you wasting your time on me? Are you going to bring, is this Moshe asked Hashem, is this going to be the Geula? Hashem says, no. This is just one step in the process. Process? What is the joke? This is not the Geula. This is just Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's just the first step of a process? I'm out of here. Send the real Mashiach. I don't want any part in this. Hashem said, too bad, you don't have a choice. You're going to be the first step in the process. If that's the case, when the Seder is over, so what do we want? We've already been through the process. We're holding that Ikvasa de Mashiacha. We're ready for the finale. We're ready for Tishlach. What's the pasuk? I forget. What's the pasuk, Rabbi Yevsky? Shlach no biatishlach. We're holding now. Shlach no biatishlach. We're holding at the finale. Bring the real Mashiach. What's going on over here? And yet, what do? We blow it. Instead of asking for Mashiach to come, there's no mention in the whole Haggadah. Zero. The climax of the Haggadah is the Kois Shel Eliyahu. When the Seder is over, what remains on the table? The Kois Shel Eliyahu. Not Mashiach. The whole Seder, you take away all the dishes, they take away all the matzah, they take away the charoses, they take away the maror. What is always left on the table? The Kois Shel Eliyahu. In fact, they say it's the most beautiful moments in Chabad with the seventh Rebbe, Rabbeinu Menachem Mendel, Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu. They say the most beautiful moments of his Chasidus were Lel Pesach, when the Chasidim came to Fabreng with the Rebbe in the presence of the Kohes Shel Eliyahu. After he had his Seder, and after the Chasidim had their Seder, they would come to his home and they had in front of him the Kohes Shel Eliyahu. I don't know if they drank it, they didn't drink it, what the minhagim are, but it was all focused on the Kohes Shel Eliyahu. When the Seder is over, that's all you got. Shlach Nabi Atishlach is Mashiach. But there's a process. There's a Seder. Before Mashiach can come, Eliyahu has to come. Eliyahu, he is what comes when the Seder is over. And Eliyahu is the one that's Mevaser, the Melech HaMashiach. So this is one of the big mysteries of history. How did Shabsai Tzvi get away with it? Shabsai Tzvi claimed to be the Melech HaMashiach. Where was Eliyahu? Eliyahu is the one who authenticates. He's the one that tells Klal Yisrael that this guy, he's the real deal. He's Mashiach. Where was Eliyahu Hanavi that came lifnei bo, lifnei Yoyim Hashem, to authenticate this man? It wasn't this guy Nosson. He had all these shady guys. Shabsai Tzvi hung out with these Meshugayim that joined him. They weren't Eliyahu. They never claimed to be Eliyahu Hanavi. They never claimed that. So where was he? There was no Eliyahu Hanavi. So how come people fell for it? Mystery. One of the big wonders of Jewish history. You need an Eliyahu Hanavi to validate, to authenticate the Melech HaMashiach. The Seder, it will end off with the Kohes Shel Eliyahu. That's a very important principle that we have to always remember. We're talking about Mashiach. But before we have the Mashiach, we need the Eliyahu HaNavi to come be Megala, who is the Mashiach. Now Chabad, they have a very big problem. Same exact problem. How are they getting away with this? These are the people that are not legit. I'm not talking about, you know, the Rebbe was not well the last 2 years, and when they started doing things, the Rebbe was not everyone knows he was not, unfortunately, he was a choyla. He was not aware what was going on. They can't go declare a person to be the Mashiach. You need an Eliyahu HaNavi to declare the Mashiach. Instead of screaming for Mashiach to come, you have to be screaming for Eliyahu HaNavi to come, to be Megale, who will be the Melech HaMashiach. This is a critical step. Okay, Rabbi said there's a lot more in Yiritz Hashem to be continued. Maybe by tomorrow, Rav Meir will be Megale himself. Rav Meir, now we need, it's not enough now for you to be Mashiach Meir. We need Eliyahu HaNavi to authenticate that you are Mashiach. And until that time, we'll have to wait. What?
What was the pasuk we started off with? Shvi
in Balak, the very end of Balak in Shvi, the Ata pasuk Yudalid, Perich Chav Dalid pasuk Yudalid, the Ata Himni Halach Liami L'Chol Yotzka.
I don't need Eliyahu to validate. I need people to validate, to run after me and follow my direction.
You need Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi has to be the one to validate.
I need to hear the pasuk.
Perek Chof Dalid, Pasik Yudalid, 24:14, Parshas Balak, Shvi, the seventh Aliyah of Parshas Balak. Rabbis, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your day. Be well. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating.
Mark. talk. You want to hear the pasuk or you want to...
Yeah, I'd like to hear the
pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk yutal. It's yato hineni olech yamid ko yatsko asher yaseh omazem.
Okay, I'll look at it
one. You gotta go further. It's really Yud Zayin.
Thank you, Rabbi
Levine. You, look at Yud Zayin. Look at Pasuk Yud Zayin.
Corey asked me to remember him to you.
Yes, yes, of course. I know him. I see him every so often. I see him every so often. I bump into him every so often. Thank you very, very much. Send him my best regards.
Okay, then also Mark, but then it also says the Rachkov of Yaakov. In other words, Erenu Vloato. I see the future, but not now. It's going to happen much later.
17, Pasuk 17.
So that's where they want to start off with Bar Kokhba, the whole thing. It's the whole thing. You know what I noticed, Rabbi Levine? Interesting. When it says Barach Lecha El Mekol Mecha, so the Mefarshim get into it a little bit. They, you know, it says Barach Lecha, and it says, but the Onkel Targum Uklis says it's the same type by Barach as Hineni Holech, Barak and Holech, it says Oza, uses the same word. But the Targum Yonason gives a different word. Barak Lechoi types this up as a word for Barak Lechoi. Different than, what do you call it? Different than Holech. Was he types this up the way he says,